Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, my name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you joined me. And we're going to spend a few minutes looking at some things going on around us in the Brotherhood. And then we're going to spend time in God's Word this morning as we continue our study of the New Testament in 2016 as we cover a chapter a day, every weekday, here on Mornings for the Master. And if all goes well, on the last weekday of December, we will finish with the 22nd chapter of Revelation, as we begin the year with Matthew chapter 1, and we will go all the way through. And today, we're going to be considering 2 Timothy chapter 3, will be our chapter for consideration here shortly. But right now we want to look at some of the things that are going on around us. And one of those is going to begin October the 9th here in just a few days and run through the 12th. And that is a gospel meeting at the Edgewood, Texas Church of Christ. The theme will be the story of redemption. There's going to be various speakers for this event. The times on Lord's Day will be 9:30 and 10:30 in the morning, and then 6 p.m. Sunday evening. And we'll begin at 7 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings. The building is located at 1595, that's 1595 U.S. Highway 80 East in Edgewood. That's located there very close to the Edgewood School District, if you're familiar with the area. And the number that you can reach them for more information is 903-896-1420. Also, though it's too late to sign up now, we do want to note that beginning today is the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat at the Heart of Texas Bible Camp in Brady, Texas. And you might want to contact them about getting your name down to be sure to have awareness next year of this event. The number to call is 325-600-4143. So you'll be sure that you're able to attend next year's event. This is an excellent event, and we wish them well, and this is going on through Saturday. I know that there's going to be a great group there, and everyone will benefit from that. Also coming up October the 8th, this Saturday, there is going to be a Ladies' Day at the Sullivan Village Church of Christ in Lawton, Oklahoma. And the speaker is going to be Wendy Rutledge, right here from Mount Vernon, Texas, the wife of Brother Richard. And the theme is going to be Tiptoeing Through the Tulips and Running Through the Daisies. For more information, ladies, call 580-248-1020. That's 580-248-1020. Saturday week, October the 15th, the Lord's Church in Emory, Texas, will be hosting a one-day event called Restoration in America. This is going to run from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There will be a lunch served. The speakers are going to include Brother Bradley Cobb and Brother Mark McWhorter. And for more information, you can call 903-473-2658. That's 903-473-2658. Malvern, Arkansas, in the North Main Church of Christ, is going to be the site for an upcoming gospel meeting to be held October 16th through the 19th. The speaker is going to be Brother Adam Orr, and the topic or theme is going to be Saving the Saints. Some of these lessons will include saving the saints from spiritual illiteracy, saving the saints from apostasy, saving the saints from apathy, saving the saints from idolatry, saving the saints from anxiety, and saving the saints from the adversary. For more information, you can contact the North Main Church there in Malvern, Arkansas at 501-332-2273. That's 501-332-2273. Coming up October the 22nd, the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas, will be hosting their 13th annual Ladies' Day. And the speaker is going to be Sister Holly McCormick from Atlanta, Texas. The topic is going to be Living Without Fear in the Present Culture. What a timely series of lessons that's going to be with Sister McCormick for the ladies there in Mount Pleasant. If you'd like to attend this, call 903-572-1136. That's 903-572-1136 for the upcoming Ladies' Day, Saturday, October 22nd, at the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Also, October the 30th through November the 3rd, it's going to be a series of gospel meetings at the Marshall Church of Christ in Marshall, Texas. The speaker will be Brother Charles Harris, and the theme is Have You Ever Wondered? And hopefully we'll have more information about this series of meetings coming up in Marshall, Texas as we get closer to the time. Also, we want you to mark on your calendar. Now get your pen out and mark it right now unless you're driving. And that is November the 5th and November the 6th. And that is going to be the dates for the third annual Gospel Radio Network Lectureship and Supporters Banquet. This event is going to be centered around proclaiming the gospel of peace. At 9 a.m. on Saturday, November the 5th, this event will kick off. This will be held at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. However, if you're not able to attend, all of this will be broadcast here on TGRN. At 9 a.m., Brother Mike Bonner will speak on the gospel of peace. At 10 a.m., Brother Brian Hodge will speak on the God of peace. At 11 a.m., Brother John Hall will speak on the Prince of Peace. At noon will be the annual Broadcasters and Supporters Banquet. This is for all of those who support the Gospel Radio Network in any way, whether you are a broadcaster, a financial supporter, or a supporter through your prayers, or even you support it through your listenership. We want you to attend. And that'll be at noon. It'll be a barbecue lunch that you will not want to miss. The afternoon, then, will kick off at 1:30. Brother Brian Burdeau will be speaking on the Gospel of Peace Unites. At 2:30, the speaker will be Brother Clay Bond, The Gospel of Peace Divides. And at 3:30 p.m., Brother John McCormick will speak on the Gospel of Peace is the answer to our social problems. And that'll conclude Saturday's event. And then on the Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. in the Bible class hour, Brother Preston McElyea will speak on Blessed Are the Peacemakers. At 10:30 a.m., Brother Phil Hancock will bring the lesson on The Peace That Passes Understanding. At noon, there will be a potluck lunch for everyone. And we hope that everyone will stay and visit in that time. And then the day will conclude at 1:30 p.m. when Brother J.J. Hendricks speaks on Beautiful Are the Feet of Those Who Proclaim the Gospel of Peace. What a great time this is going to be of edification, of fellowship. And we hope that you'll make plans to attend November 5th and 6th for the third annual Gospel Radio Network Lectureship and Supporters Banquet. And remember, if you're not able to attend in person, it will be broadcast live here on TGRN. Okay, at this time, we're going to turn our attention to our study of God's Word this morning. And our consideration this morning will be 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 begins with Paul warning Timothy in regards to coming apostasy. In verse 1, he said, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." And so he begins by warning Timothy that these perilous times are coming, make no mistake. Now, the last days, or latter days, are a reference to the Christian dispensation. This is the last times until the Lord comes again. No one knows how long this age will last, for it has not been revealed to man. In fact, not even the Lord Jesus himself knows this time. The Father has reserved this decision for himself. But throughout this age, which is now some 2,000 years old, there has been and there will continue to be perilous times during the Christian age. Now, what Paul is talking about here is not a revealing of some sign regarding the Lord's return or when it will be. For the return of the Lord will be as a thief in the night. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, said, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Timothy and all of the saints would need to be prepared for the dangerous times that were ahead." Paul, by warning them, would give them a greater opportunity to stand fast in the faith in perilous times. They would endure persecution of the like which has not been seen since. But it's entirely possible in this day and age that we could be headed for similar times. And that alone is enough reason for us to give our attention to this epistle. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Paul here in verses 2 through 4 has given us a list of a number of abhorrent things that man becomes when he turns away from the truth and the light of the Lord. He said that men would become lovers of themselves. Men become selfish, placing themselves before others. When God is forgotten, man will place himself in opposition of the golden rule. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Men will soon forget that kind of behavior. For when a man is selfish, his only concern is the pleasing of self. Paul said that men would become covetous when they turn away from God. When a man turns away from God, he soon becomes material and carnal. His primary concern soon will turn to his personal gain. greed will gain traction in the heart of a man like this. And this stands in complete opposition to what a godly character is. Jesus warned of this in Luke 12 and verse 15, and he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Men will become boasters. Individuals that is in love with self more than others. Those that are happy to share their great accomplishments with you. These individuals consider themselves to be of far more importance to society and the world than you. The boaster has no place in the kingdom of the Lord. We should develop the attitude of Paul concerning self, and we should recall the parable also of the unprofitable servants. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, listen to what Paul said. "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles." Paul also stated that men would grow proud. And I suppose we could speak the rest of the day concerning the danger of pride. God hates a proud look, according to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." No man is immune to being tempted of pride. God will accept a contrite spirit, but he will never accept a prideful heart. Consider for just a moment the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. "Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. "For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Paul's list here also included the blasphemer. Men without God become blasphemers, those who speak evil against others. And soon they will even begin to rail against the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This happens because the Father they have chosen, Satan, is a blasphemer. And the Son will usually mimic their Father. Paul acknowledged his former conduct in that before following Christ that he was blasphemous. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul said that some men would become disobedient to parents. God does not, nor will God ever tolerate disobedience in his children. Part of the problem that man has with obedience to God stems from the lack of being taught obedience to parents from an early age. Parents that fail to teach obedience to their children do great damage to their chances of seeing heaven. God takes it so seriously that if you will recall, the rebellious child was sentenced to death under the Mosaic dispensation. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 21, beginning in verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice, for he is a glutton and a drunkard. So serious in that dispensation that the penalty was physical death. Today, the cost is still death, but it is spiritual death. Listen to the warning of Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here, he exhorts us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. It is sad today that so many parents are living lives that a children that wants to follow God could not honor. Paul said also that men, when turning from God, will become unthankful. This happens soon when God is removed from one's life. Also, our entitlement society has contributed greatly to this problem also. There soon becomes no appreciation for Him from whom all blessings flow. Our self-centered society is constantly demanding what it believes and what people believe they are owed. The truth is, God owes no man anything. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Our very breath of life is a gift from God, for which far too many today give absolutely no thought. Paul said that men would become unholy. For a man to fail to pursue holiness is to be unholy. The destruction that is caused by unholy living is easily seen in so many of the popular vices around us today. The plague upon the church and our society, that is marriage, divorce, and remarriage. The widespread popularity of illegal drugs. The abuse of prescription drugs. The plague of alcohol. The disregard for the sanctity of life in the form of abortion. In the form of legalized suicide in some states. And homosexuality. The horrible language that is in common use today. And we could go on forever with all of the various forms of unholy living that is pervading our society. But Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, called us to something totally different. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Paul also said that men would become unloving without God. And again, all of the unholy things that men do to each other in this day and age also shows the unloving attitude of society today. Things that people are doing, like turning teenagers on to drugs, to alcohol, to premarital sex, these are all among the most unloving attitudes that we could develop. Oh, but it's not just teenagers. Cheating in business, defrauding others, all of these are filled with unloving attitude. To abort an innocent child, to abandon a young babe, things that are hard to even speak about. And yet we could go on and on if time permitted. Paul also stated that men would become unforgiving. Yes, the golden rule is soon forgotten. Men will cease to forgive little things when they are doing worse themselves. Forgetting Luke 6:31, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Not a very common thing today. Men also, when turning from God, will become slanderers. They become those who attempt to injure others with words, false accusers. The talebearer has no regard for the feelings and reputations of others. The proverb writer put it well in chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. A slanderous tongue is capable of extensive damage. And certainly, as Paul noted, that men will lose self-control without God and his precepts. Individuals become unable to control their desires and lust. They are unrestrained, seeking to remove all restraints We recall those that Lot encountered. They desired to have those brought out to them that they may know them carnally. Strangers in the city, they were unable to control their lust. Many of our society's problems are the result of the lack of self-control. We look no further than the homosexual agenda for a good example of this. But the words of Peter ring so true in this day and age. From 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." We see also that men will become brutal. Brutal, or as we read in some versions, fierce. Men that leave God become brutal in their thoughts and actions. They will not tolerate their ideas and practices to be questioned. We see that today, those who have screamed for tolerance, and now that they've gained a foothold, they are desiring to squelch anyone whose ideas does not follow their own ideal and agenda. Note the venom that spews forth from the proponents of various vices toward those who call forth for restraint on topics like alcohol, even here in small town East Texas. Abortion, homosexuality, and the list goes on. And even in the church, in doctrinal areas, our liberal friends often show these same type of attitudes. Paul said that men would become despisers of what is good. Men will turn from what is good to what is evil. We see it all around us. And they begin to do everything in their power to stop what is good. The world has always hated those who do good and the things that are good. But this is nothing new when we recall the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 5 and verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The world truly rejoices when they see a Christian fail. Paul also stated that men would become traitors. They will betray. In the time of persecution or trouble, the weak will quickly betray the strong. The Lord said this very thing would happen, so we should not be surprised. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 and 10, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many others will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Paul said that men would become headstrong without God. And the word that's translated headstrong here could also be rendered as rash, meaning to act without thought, to be impulsive in your actions, to act in a rash manner. You see, a man without God becomes hard-headed and stubborn, like a teenager would often behave, acting without listening to the advice of sound counsel. The headstrong act in a way that will soon bring misfortune to themselves and others. And isn't it sad that many individuals today never seem to get past this stage? Paul said men would become haughty to be puffed up or full of pride and arrogance. Those who begin to think more highly of themselves than they ought to. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we read, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And we see he concludes this list with the thought that men will become lovers of pleasure rather than God. You see, this is the great problem that we don't want to talk about today. You see, we become more concerned with fishing and golf, youth sports, even family. They all become idols of pleasure when we place them before God. Our congregations are filled with people today whose hearts are not right with God. Those that place the quest for a baseball trophy above worship. Those that place a day on the lake with friends above worship. And we can go on, but I think we all get the point. The God of heaven gave his only begotten for man, and yet most men simply reject him outright or give only a lip service that will be vomited out. In verse 5, he said, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. These type of people. And notice what Paul says about all of these people. And from such people, turn away. God gives us instruction that these people may appear to have a form of godliness, but we are to turn away and avoid these folks. They are the people that are simply playing the game of church. Our present world tolerates all of these sinful practices that we've discussed for the last half hour or so. And even the precious blood-bought church of our Lord Jesus Christ is increasingly being turned away due to the tolerance of these very sins. The continuing practice of tolerating sin within the church is growing, and it is bringing about a great and destructive damage. Paul said to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But sadly, that is what so many of our brethren have set their mind to do, just that. The church that fails to practice discipline will find these sins alive and well and spreading like a cancer that will gradually kill the body. Thanks be to God for congregations that still practice discipline. Those congregations that love the brethren enough to do things God's way. In verse 6, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. These individuals are deceived by the false teachers, and they are easily led away. And oh, how many are exactly like this today. But we need to understand that if one learns, and one lives, and one grows daily in truth, they will not be deceived by such false teachers. The mature Christian will be aware of their snares, and be on guard against such, and be able to discern between the truth and the lie. Many have knowledge, but are without wisdom and faith. Knowledge alone has never been sufficient. In verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Paul holds out here Jannes and Jambres as examples of those that he has been speaking of. These two tried to stand against Moses and were defeated, as all false teachers are defeated. Secular history says that these two were magicians of Pharaoh, and that they were defeated, of course, when they could no longer repeat the miraculous plagues that came at the hand of Moses. Though the false teacher, though they have more followers than the truth does in this day and age, Christians must understand that each and every one of them will ultimately fall. Verse 9 says, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Notice, it's considered as folly. Paul pointed out that the deceivers of the past, like Jannes and Jambres, fell, and so would the false teachers and deceivers of Paul's day, as well as those in ages to come. They were all going to meet the same end result. Men today can stop false teaching in its tracks just as Paul did. But we must learn and know the Word of God. We must develop wisdom, courage, and faith, and then earnestly contend for the faith in all ways and all places. Jude said in verse 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And now Paul reminds us in the next few verses that all Christians are going to face persecution. In verse 10, he said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Timothy had spent a great deal of time with Paul, and he was fully aware of the truth of the doctrine that Paul taught. Timothy had witnessed Paul's conduct in his personal life, in that Paul practiced what he preached. Timothy had been a witness to the purpose and determination in the life of Paul to take the gospel to as many as possible. He had witnessed the faith of Paul in action on many occasions. He had seen Paul's long suffering with weak brethren. He had seen Paul's selfless love of others over himself, and his seemingly unending perseverance to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul truly lived what he told those in Galatia in chapter 2 and verse 20 of the Galatian letter. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What an encouragement to Timothy and others to see Paul work so diligently for the cause of Christ. After enduring the beatings and persecutions that he had endured, yet through all of this, still maintaining the same zeal for the cause of Christ. He pointed out in verse 11 some of the things that he had endured, not as boasting, but to point out his genuineness. Persecutions, afflictions, what happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. What a level of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, just listen to some of the things that Paul endured. From the Jews I received 40 stripes. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul says that he is not the only one suffering. Others are going through things like him. All Christians are going to suffer persecution to at least some extent. Perhaps you have not had to suffer as a martyr. Perhaps you've not had to suffer physical injury, and I pray you won't. But make no mistake, there is a price to being a Christian. If you never have to endure anything, you need to conduct a self-examination as to whether you are in the faith. In John chapter 15 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are we not watching this play out before our very eyes? The sexual revolution and the drug use of the 60s turned into the abortion clinic of the 70s. Women's liberation would move to the removal of distinctions between the sexes, soon followed by the rapid rise of the homosexual movement. Now that has given way to homosexual marriage. The home has been wreaked havoc upon through all of these things, and the rise of cohabitation and no-fault divorce, transgenderism, transsexuality, and all of these things will soon lead next to the legalization of such things as pedophilia and bestiality and things that we cannot even imagine. And interestingly, all of this, of course, was done in the name of fairness, equality, tolerance, and love. The Christian that stands in opposition to this agenda will most assuredly face increasing severity of persecutions. But Paul doesn't leave us hanging. He leaves us here in chapter 3 by pointing out that perfect word of God where our encouragement is. Verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Paul instructs Timothy to continue in the things which he had learned at the feet of his mother and grandmother, as Paul had pointed out earlier. Timothy was a blessed man to have been trained in the nurture and admonition of the Lord by these two godly women. He had also been blessed to have spent time learning at the feet of the Apostle Paul. Timothy had received the laying on of hands by Paul in 2 Timothy 1:6. Timothy would be expected to do much for the kingdom, for he had been greatly blessed with opportunity. Oh, it is so important that we each continue and abide in truth and in faithfulness. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What a blessing for a child to be taught the Holy Scriptures as a child, to be brought regularly to worship, and even greater, to sit on the lap of a godly parent or grandparent, and to be taught the goodness and the mercy of God, to learn how God has cared for their family through good times and bad times, as Timothy did. A faith like Timothy's, that it was built from a young age, will lead to a mature faith, one that will sustain an individual as an adult through the trials, the tribulations, and the temptations of life. Begin building today in your young people a faith that will one day grow to become a saving faith. The precious word, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Scriptures are all inspired. They are full of all truth. They are perfect. I rarely give reference to the NIV version of the Bible, but here is one place where it certainly gets it right. It says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It is the very breath of God. It is God communicating to man. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is profitable. The Old Testament is profitable. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The New Testament is profitable. James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The Scriptures are profitable for doctrine. The Scriptures are profitable for reproof. The Scriptures are profitable for correction. However, our spiritual soil must be good to allow the power of the Scripture to have its effective work upon our souls. The Scriptures instruct us in righteousness. Lipscomb noted, he said, the Scripture trains by guiding and inspiring the soul in holiness and right living. These instructions are given as in accordance with the will of God as revealed through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The 119th Psalm in verse 172 says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. And finally, verse 17, in summation, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Scripture, if it is studied, applied, and lived, will complete any individual, and they will be fully ready for any good work. Praise be to God for the all-sufficiency of the Holy Scripture, for it is perfect in every way. James 1:25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Indeed, the Word of God, the power of God unto salvation. Our time is up this morning. I thank you for joining me. Stay tuned for the rest of the programs that are coming up here on the Gospel Radio Network today. Remember that this program will be repeated tonight, this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and posted to the archive section in a day or so on the TGRN website. And tune in again tomorrow as Brother Chris and JJ bring you 2 Timothy chapter 4. Until next time, this is Chris McAleer saying so long and have a great day.